Okay, welcome everybody. Shalom uvracha. Today is April 14th, 2021, and it is the second of Iyar. And today is the day that we are marking Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day for fallen Israeli soldiers. And tonight we will have our special program, and we will move from Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaAtzma'ut. Okay, so today's mitzvah, let's learn L'Zecher Nishmat, in memory of all those who fell defending and establishing the State of Israel and victims of terror as well. So the mitzvah we're going to learn today, we'll spend most of our time on mitzvah number 169, mitzvah Kuf Samach Tet, which is mitzvah Inyan Tum'at Mitzorah, the commandment of the matter of the impurity of the Mitzorah. Let's just define the mitzvah briefly, and then we're going to jump right into the very important discussion of divine providence that is that the Sefer HaChinuch spends a lot of time on. And there are some really, really meaningful discussions here. So here we go. First of all, just the mitzvah. So this week we read Parshat Tazria and Mitzorah. It's a double parsha this week, and the laws of Tzarat. Tzarat is really something we can't define. It's often defined as leprosy, but it's not what we know as contemporary leprosy. Sometimes I call it biblical leprosy, so as a way to distinguish it between other types of leprosy. But we're just going to call it Tzarat. And it is some sort of a skin ailment that comes, we're going to see that Sefer HaChinuch and others say that it comes as a result of some spiritual shortcoming, okay? So here we go. Here is the Sefer HaChinuch. Mitzvat inyan tumat mitzora, le tamei adam mitzora, to make a man a mitzora, meaning a person a mitzora. When certain appearances of skin irregularities exist, there's an obligation that the person go to the Kohen, or the Kohen summon the person. Kolomar shemitzvahi aleinu shekol mi sheyehye mitzora sheyavo el haKohen lishol al tzarato vaHaKohen yitma'enu o yitaren. There's an obligation on anyone who thinks they are a mitzora to go to the Kohen and to ask the Kohen whether this particular appearance on the skin is tzarat or is it not tzarat, and the Kohen will render them pure or impure. And after that happens, v'hu yitnaheg al pi haTorah k'tuva. And after that happens, the person will act in accordance with the Torah, meaning what the rules are for that particular nega, for that particular affliction. Kasher yitzuvenu haKohen, as the Kohen will command. Lo yikach hadavar. Here's the first main sort of philosophical, theological point that the Sefer HaChinuch makes. Lo yikach hadavar kicholi haba b'mikre. That when one has tzarat, one should not cough it up to happenstance, right? They should not cough it up to just a coincidence, right? As it says here, he should not make the thing an illness that comes by chance. Yes, sometimes people get sick, sometimes people don't get sick, right? That is not the proper way to deal with this. Ela yitain lev alav, but rather they should focus their mind on it. V'yeda ki godel avono garam oto. And they should realize that this tzarat only comes because of the greatness of their sin. Tzarat comes because of a sin. It's not another type of ailment, which may not become, right? It's important to note two things here. One is that tzarat does come because of a sin. And it's also important to note that other illnesses, we are unable to say with certainty that they come because of sin, right? We have to be very careful about that when it comes to thinking about ourselves and when it comes about thinking about others, that we do not go down that road of saying, well, this is happening to you or this is happening to me because of sin. We do not know that. And there's no way of knowing that. And saying that to somebody may be cruel, right? It could be hurtful. And so we want to be careful. So, but when it comes to Torah, the Torah tells us it is because of a sin, and we quote the pasuk, "Shenemar Adam ki yeb beor b'saro vuval Aron haKohen o alacham ibnei haKohenim umitzvazo kolelet kol mishpatei tzarat Adam mashemena tamei umashemena tahor mashemena tzarich hesker mashemena tzarich hesker." These psukim apply to all types of tzarat, whether in the end they end up pure or impure, or whether the person requires a quarantine or does not require a quarantine. So the first thing is to, again, not to fall into the trap of thinking that this is a mikre, that this is a chance, that this is a coincidence. Okay. Now let's look at the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation of the purpose or the meaning of this mitzvah. And here, it's very interesting. Mishar shei ha-mitzvah, from the root of the commandment. Likvoa b'nafshoteinu ki hashgachat Hashem baruch hu pratit al kol echad mibnei adam. We have to, you know, the book of Vayikra itself is complicated. And sometimes it's hard to learn because it's very technical. A lot about karbanot, and in these parshiot, a lot about skin ailments and house ailments. But what the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us here is that certainly here, and I think in most of Vayikra as well, the mitzvot also are reflecting ideals. They are reflecting very important fundamental teachings of Judaism, right? In general, rituals are supposed to underscore and they are supposed to highlight the beliefs, the thought, the thinking of the religion, right? We do not do ritual just for the sake of ritual, right? Rituals that we do are supposed to strengthen things that we believe in, like Pesach, right? The Pesach Seder, right? We do all those rituals at the Pesach Seder to strengthen our belief in Yetziat Mitzrayim as the moment of truth, if you will, the moment when Bnei Yisrael were defined as a nation, right? And that's why so many things, not only on Pesach, but so many things, all the Chagim and Shabbat, we say Zecher Liyetziyat Mitzrayim, in order to remember the Exodus from Egypt, because that's a fundamental moment in our history. So our rituals are supposed to strengthen and fortify our beliefs. So here, what belief is this ritual fortifying? Right? What belief is this whole idea of Tzarat, of that there's a skin ailment, fortifying? So says the Sefer HaChinuch, it's to fortify the belief in Hashgacha Pratit, that God takes an interest in our lives, right? That God takes an interest in our lives. If we're saying that Tzarat is a result of some sin, so that indicates that when we sin, There's a ramification. There's a punishment. There's something that happens. God is concerned about what we do, and that reflects on what happens. And so all these rituals of going to the Kohen are going to underscore that important belief. And he's going to explain it so beautifully. Likvoa b'nafshoteni. He says explicitly here. Likvoa b'nafshoteni ki hashgachat Hashem baruch hu pratit al kol echad mibnei adam. Now, the whole idea of Hashgacha Pratit is very complicated, of divine providence. And here, the Sefer HaChinuch uncharacteristically veers a little bit away from the Rambam. A little bit away. Not terribly so, but in some important ways veers away from the Rambam. But his idea is that there is individualized divine providence, right? To fix in our hearts that the providence of God, blessed be he, is individualized upon everyone among people. Excuse this really awkward translation, right? That God cares and acts on all of us. V'chi einav pikuchot al kol derachehem, and that God observes everything that we do. Kamo shekatuv ki einav al darkei ish, that God's eyes are upon all of us and sees all of our steps. Lachain hizaranu latet lev al hacholi hara hazeh ulachshov ki hachet garam oto. Not only that God cares about what we do, but that sin comes with punishment. Right? Those are fundamental ideas in Judaism, right? And so the whole package of Tzaraat is supposed to remind us of that. Again, a beautiful example that our rituals are there and they are meant to, fortify fundamental beliefs. Okay? Ki b'chet lashon hara, and then he quotes the Gemara in Masechet Erev Nikvar Amru Zichronim Levracha, ki b'chet lashon hara yavo b'ra v'lo nikchenu derech mikre. That generally it comes from evil speech, and it's not happenstance. V'yesh lanu lavo ala kohen shu ha'omed l'chaparat ha'chotim. And then what's the next step? We have to go to the kohen. What's the kohen's job? The Kohen brings the karbanot on behalf of the Jewish people to help us achieve forgiveness. So it's so interesting, right? God, the Torah says, if you are suffering from tzaraat, which means you sinned, go to the person who's responsible, generally speaking, to achieve forgiveness for the people. Shuomed lecha parata chotim, v'mchevrata mechaper ulai yaharher b'tshuva. And when you're hanging around the people whose job it is to help us achieve forgiveness, maybe we'll also start thinking about forgiveness, right? I guess if you go, you know, you go to a convention of astronauts, you start thinking about space. You go to a convention of doctors, you start thinking about medicine, even if you're not a doctor, right? If you go to a convention of Kohanim, you start thinking about forgiveness, hopefully our own forgiveness. And then listen to this. V'yasker kitzat yamim kidei sheyashiv alev inyana b'matun v'yifashfesh b'masad. And what happens if, in fact, it is tzaraat, or even if it's not tzaraat and the Kohen is not clear? We go into quarantine. What's the purpose of the quarantine? To make us think. But you have to remember, back in the day, there was no Netflix. So now we go into quarantine, and it's fantastic. I got Hulu and HBO Max and Netflix and this streaming and that streaming. I don't have to think about anything. But back in the day, in the Midbar, there was none of that. So you were alone with your thoughts. So I wonder when these rules become operative again, if we're going to have to put the person in a room where there's no signal, and or maybe confiscate their electronics so people can be alone with the thoughts. So it's really incredible, right? If you have this nega, you have this affliction, right away you have to start thinking, oh, maybe this is because I sinned. And then you go to the Kohen, whose job it is to achieve forgiveness, and this is what they do for a living, and you're surrounded by people like that, and all you could think about is, maybe I need to repent. And then then there's a quarantine where you have nothing left to do but look at your skin, look at your nega, see how it's happening, and say, oi, I gotta repent. Right? So again, these are rituals that are meant to focus us on beliefs. L'famim yasker shnei haskerim shema hir hetshuva v'lo tshuva shleiman. Sometimes it's a quarantine, a double quarantine, two consecutive quarantines, because the person didn't do tshuva the first time fully, and they have to do a second tshuva. Ki'ilu tomar al derech mashal shechashav lachzir machatzit zolato. It's as if someone is giving back half of what they stole. The Az Yichadesh Bo Hashem Baruch Hu Ktzat Simanim Sheyasker Shenit Ulay Yashlim Tshuva Tov Yeter Legamri. And God will give them some signs that they need to actually stay behind for a second quarantine, and maybe they will do tshuva. So in this short paragraph, we learn, first of all, a fundamental idea, that rituals are meant to focus us on our beliefs. We do not believe Jewish ritual is not busy work. It's not like writing on the board. I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. Right? That's punitive and usually doesn't work. Okay? Our rituals are meant to focus us on beliefs. What are the fundamental beliefs that are fortified and underscored when it comes to this mitzvah? One, first of all, the general idea of Hashgacha Pratit, that God cares about what we do. And and he watches us and he looks at us. Two, that things that certainly in this case, right, things that happen to us in this case are the result of our actions. Three, we need to repent. And that is, we're reminded about that by, first of all, being sent to the Kohanim, who are in the repentance business. And two, the hesker, the quarantine, where we don't have much to think about other than the sin. I'll stop for in a minute for questions or comments. I'll just point out that there is a beautiful Gemara in Masechet Brachot on Daf Hey Amud Aleph 5a that says, Ro'eh Adam Sheyisurin Ba'in Alav. If a person sees that they are suffering, Yifashfesh Bima'asav. They should feel out, they should examine their actions. So it's a powerful and potentially dangerous statement the Gemara is making. It's powerful because it again reminds us to take responsibility for our actions. That things are not going our way, maybe it's our fault. Now, by the way, there are two ways to read this Gemara. There's the mystical way and the rational way. The mystical way is I'm punished because of things I did, along the lines of what we're learning here. And that's, you know, metaphysical, maybe a little mystical, but it's a fundamental belief in Judaism. I just wouldn't necessarily point to one particular reality in my life as definitely being because of sin. That's impossible to do. But it's always a good idea to be examining our lives. And the second way to learn this is, if bad things are coming to me, maybe I'm just being irresponsible, right? If I keep getting into fender benders, maybe I'm not driving carefully, right? If my flowers keep dying, maybe I'm not using the right fertilizer or watering the flowers enough, right? If I, whatever the case may be, maybe yifashvesh b'masav, having nothing to do with a punishment, I'm just bad at this and I have to get better at this or try something new. Right? If the IKEA furniture that I build keeps falling apart, maybe it's time for me to hire someone to build it. That's a personal note. Okay, let me stop here before we get into some more really meaty things in the Sefer HaChinuch. I see that Ellie has her hand up, so polite, Ellie. I'm not going to make you write on the board. I will not call out during class because you're raising your hand. This is because you're Australian and you're well-mannered.
Saved. You just saved yourself.
I know my customers.
Yeah, good. That's excellent. But I was just thinking about language, because is it punishment or does it feel punishing? Like, because everything's about a lesson in life. Like, you know, things happen to us and the reflection is that we learn and grow. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing here. So it seems like a double whammy. Like you go to the Kohanim and you already got the humiliation of some skin thing that maybe other people can see. And then you go and he says whether or not you need to go and reflect. Do you have to say to him like the Catholics do, you know, I did this, that, and the next thing? Or are you just saying, look, did I do something?
That's a great question. So I think it would work as this. You would go to the Kohen, you'd show the Kohen your nega, your ailment. And the Kohen would decide whether it's tzarat or not. There's no obligation I do not believe there's a requirement to tell the Kohen what you did wrong. However, this does not erase the general requirement of tshuva, right? And then when you thought about it, say, maybe I got this because I spoke Lashon Hara about Elisheva. Now I got to go to Elisheva when I'm allowed to. And I have to repent.
But that could be looked at, thank you, I'll wait for you. But that could be looked at as uplifting. Like I have this opportunity to reflect. You see, as human beings, we always put a negative spin on it. And
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that's, I think the next, in a few minutes, maybe we'll see another entry into the Sefer HaChinuch, which I think works out very well with what you're saying. Okay, great. Any other comments or questions so far? Okay, great. All right, let's look now. Now the Sefer HaChinuch is going to get into a really interesting discussion of various beliefs about divine providence. Right? What is the nature of divine providence? How direct is it? Who does it apply to? Right? Is it every action that we do governed by God? Only some of them? All of us? Only some of us? How does that work? What about non-human beings? Right? What about squirrels and birds who are fighting over my bird feeder, you know, on a daily basis in my backyard? Do they have hashgacha pratit? Right? Do they have divine providence? Let's see. So here, what the Sefer HaChinuch does is he outlines, and I color-coded them for you, just because I love doing that, and it's going to make it easier, four approaches to hashgacha pratit. Now, the Rambam has five, and they don't totally overlap. And I'll share with you the one that he does not have of the Rambam. Well, one of the ones that he does not have on the Rambam afterwards, which is the Rambam's main approach. But let's first see the Sefer HaChinuch's four approaches. And then he's going to tell you which one he likes best. So one, when it comes to, again, because why is he doing this? Because he already introduced the notion of Hashgacha Pratit when he said the fact that we get, so that one gets Tzarat because of a sin, that is an example of Hashgacha Pratit. That's an example of divine providence. Okay, so how does divine providence work? One, Sheyesh Kitot B'nei Adam, Yichashvu Ki Hashgachat Hashem Mitbarach Al Kol Haminin Bifrat Ben Anashim Ol Kol Shar Ba'alechai. One group believes that God's providence is specific to each individual being on earth. Right? People are animals. They all have Hashgacha Pratit. Now, it's unclear, the English, I'm not sure is such a great translation, it's unclear whether that means the species of human beings has Hashgacha Pratit, meaning that God will look over the general species but not individual people, and the species of crustaceans has a general protection from God but not each individual crab. Right, has that by God, or it means that every single individual in that species also has it. I think what he's saying is the former. So that's number one, this general hashgacha over species, but not individual. There's no individual hashgacha. That's the first approach. The second, but at least here, but what's the saving grace of this approach is that it accepts that there is such a thing as hashgacha. Right, there is divine providence. Number two, v'yesh mehen, now we're in the blue. V'yesh mehen kitot yichashvu ki hashgachat Hashem baruch hu al kol inyanei ha'olam ben ba'alei chayim ol kol shar devarim. This takes the previous version a step further. Not only animals, but all created things are directly controlled by God. Kilomar shelo yitno ea davar echad katan ba'olam hazeh rak b'cheftso baruch hu u'b'gezeruto. What that means is that no small thing moves in this world without God's decree. So the little, he's going to give an example. Ad sheyachshavu ki b'nefol Allah echad min ha'ilan. That even one leaf falling off of a tree, who gives gazar alav sheipol, God decreed it that leaf will fall. Ve'ef shar shiit acher o yakdim zman nefilata afilu rega, and the time of that leaf falling is exactly on that right second. It will not happen a second earlier or a second later because God decreed that it's going to happen right at that moment. V'zedat rachok harbe min asechem. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, that does not seem to make sense to me. He does not like that at all. However, I have a commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch who notes that this may be the approach of the Vilna Gaon, or at least the Vilna Gaon entertains this approach, and this is an approach which is also contended with in Tosfot in a number of places in Shas and a number of places in the Talmud. Some even suggest that this is Rashi's opinion. So even though the Sefer Achinuch says this, I can't believe in this. It's rachok min hadat. It's far from the intellect. It's unbelievable, is what I think he's saying. Nonetheless, there are people who believe it. And the Rambam lists it too in his list of various approaches to hashgacha. So that's one and two. One is this hashgacha over people and animals. And the second is hashgacha, this divine providence, over people, animals, leaves, amoeba, you name it. The bacteria infect tiny little bit of bacteria. It's all God's in the driver's seat for all that. That's number two. Number three, in the green, v'yesh kitot ra'ot. This is an evil group. Yachshavu shelo yasim hashkachato baruchu klal b'chol inyanei ha'olam hashafel. That when it comes to this world, God has there's no providence at all. And what does he call those people? Ben banashim ben bishar balechaim, whether people or animals. Vudat ha-kofrim, ra umar. This is the evil and bitter approach of the heretics. And this is suggesting that God doesn't have a role here. At all. It's one thing to limit the role. It's another thing to say God has no role at all. Now, this does not say that God can't do it. It says that God doesn't do it. Saying that God can't do it would be, I think, a worse type of kfira, right? A worse type of heresy. That's number three. Number four, in the University of Texas, Orange. The Anachnu Bale Hadat Ha'amitim. But we are the masters of the true knowledge. So, little pat on the back for ourselves. We know what's better. We know what's right. Lefima sheshamati nasim hashkachato baruchu al kol minei ba'alei chayim bichlal. When it comes to the animal kingdom, God looks over each and every individual each species in general. So not every black rhino, but the species of black rhinos. Now, how that jives with animals that are becoming extinct, it could be God saying, all right, we don't need them anymore. Carry on. It's not that we should not try to protect, but that would maybe one way to look at it. We don't know that, so we should continue to protect all these endangered species. Okay, rabbis with hair are an endangered species. At least this rabbi is. Okay, so the animals have a general hashgacha. However, he goes on to continue, yitkayem la'olam, they'll last forever. Lo yichlev yabed kulo, they will not be destroyed entirely. That's what it means. God looks over certain species, every single species, and does not let them get destroyed. Okay? Ubimin ha'adam, but what about human beings? Ki hashkachato baruchu al kol echad ve'echad bivprat. Every single person has hashkacha pratit, private and direct divine providence. And God understands and knows everything that we do from Tehillim. V'chein ki balnu megidulenu. This is what we receive from our great sages. V'gam nimsa al zeh harbe ketuvim yoru ki ha'inyan chein. And this is what we will see in many verses, and this is how we should teach people, because this is true. Okay. Four understandings of Hashgacha Pratit. One of them is heresy. The other two are wrong. And two of them are wrong. And this one is the right one, according to the Sefer Achinuch. Now, the Rambam is going to adjust this a little bit. The Rambam came first, of course. The Sefer Achinuch does not do what the Rambam did. We'll see it in a few minutes. But this is the Sefer Achinuch's version. And therefore, he says, V'lachein hizhartanu ha-Torah ki behegi al adam ha-chali ha-ra. When someone gets sick with this tzarat, Shelo yikachenu derech mikra. You can't assume it's an accident. Why? Because God has direct providence over us, and the Torah has told us, or tradition has told us, that this particular illness is because of sin. Shelikachenu derech mikra rak yichashev miyad ki avonotav garmu viarchik michevrat bnei adam kadam hamirachik mi ra masav. And therefore, the person should distance themselves from people, right? Because what's the sin generally? Lashon hara. What's the most important ingredient for lashon hara to violate lashon hara? Another person. So this is interesting. This also explains the quarantine. It's ingenious. He's saying you can't be around other people because you can't stop talking about them. So now you got to be alone. Right? You have to be alone. Distance yourself from other people. Raki chashev miyad ki avonotav garmu v'yarchik mechevrat b'nei adam ke adam hamerachek meira masav. V'itchaber el hamechaper, he's repeating himself, and now get close to the one who brings atonement. Hamerapesh shever achet, who fixes the ailment of sin. V'yireh alav nigo, and show him your ailment. Remember the Gemara I said, and with the help of the Kohen and with your own examination of your deeds, you sar me alav hanega. The nega will go away. The ailment will be removed. God will see tshuva, repentance, and he will heal you. This is the idea of the quarantine, as he said. So this is so much bigger, right? So much bigger than an explanation about Sarah. It goes to big ideas, right? Big ideas of what are the important things that these rituals remind us of. And again, we don't have quarantine, but it's teaching us something so powerful about community. Community is a privilege. And if we act in ways that undermine the community, we are banished from the community. It's not a punishment, as much as it could be. I'll go with Elisheva on this. It's good. It saves the rest of the community, right? It's not like this is for your own good. This hurts me more than it hurts you. This is for the good of the community. The community needs to be nurtured because it's so fragile. And so the person has to leave until they understand how fortunate they were to be part of the community to begin with. And if you look in two mitzvot away, number 171, the Sefer HaChinuch says this explicitly. He says it so powerfully. He says, Mishor Shei HaMitzvah, this is the obligation of quarantine. I'm sorry, no, not the obligation of quarantine. This is interesting. The obligation... here, the Mitzorah, that a Mitzorah act like the statute written in the section of the Torah, as it stated, his clothes shall be rent and his head shall be wild. Meaning he has to tear his clothes and he has to not comb his hair, right? And he also, and people have to call out, Tameh, Tameh, that person is Tameh, right? And what does the Sefer HaChinuch say about that? His clothes shall be rent, his head shall be wild, and likewise all other impure ones must let themselves be known. And the language of the Sifra Tazria, one who is impure from a dead body, one who has intercourse with a menstruant, and all who render a person impure, from where do I know that they are included? We say impure. Impure he shall call out, and the thing is that he should do a matter in his body that people will recognize him that he is impure. Right? He's obligated to, in some way, let everyone know that he's a little bit of a pariah. This guy is a communal menace. It is from the root of the commandment that he take his distancing from people as an example for his soul, as a person is distanced from all good as a result of sin. The community is good. It's a privilege. And if we act in an irresponsible way, we have to leave it. We have to leave that good. In order that he will repent from his evil ways. And this is the meaning of may their memory be blessed, saying, with evil speech, he separated a man from his wife and a man from his fellow, and therefore his tent is outside of the camp. By the way, there are lots of different reasons in the Torah why people are exiled from the general machaneh. Sarat is the furthest exile. They're the furthest out of the camp, out of Jerusalem even. Because harming community harmony is very, very, is looked down upon. And so the person has to look the part. They have to look like they're antisocial, right? And they have to actually be antisocial. So this is just so, it's just incredibly powerful stuff, which teaches us so many things beyond the message of Tzarat itself. That's what I wanted to, and I wanted to share with you. I'm going to stop here for a second, see if there are any questions, and if there are not, or after we're done with them, I'll come back and share with you the Rambam, because the Rambam has an additional view of divine providence, of Hashgacha Pratit, which the Sefer Chir did not get to, which I think it's important for us to look at for a moment. So I'll stop here for a second. Any comments or questions so far on what we've seen? Okay, we got Zach and then Andrea. Please, Zach, unmute yourself, please.
Okay. First of all, it's a great teaching. And for me, it's very important because today I'm going to give lecture in Russian regarding of new area in biology called epigenetic and how it's related to Jewish people. Explain why Jews have such a high IQ. I don't know how many people from this audience heard about epigenetic. Could people raise the hand? I would like to know that how few knew what is epigenetic.
What's it called?
Epigenetic. EPI genetic.
No.
Okay. In the sense, I'm glad that you didn't hear this because I want to be proud that I'm first one who will tell you that how much Hashem set up all his laws in our physical and spiritual life that we still have to discover. You remember that a tree that Adam and Hava, they wanted to eat from? It was a tree of knowledge. One of the most important messages, at least for me, from Parshat Bereshit, that it's something related to our destiny with the way how we have to approach knowledge. And this why what you, Rabbi, taught us today is amazingly combined together. I cannot give you all details of epigenetic because it's actually a long, long talk. But what I would like to say that regarding to Tarot, one of the non-Jewish person who wanted to convert to Judaism was asked by Rabbi, why are you doing it? You guys just live a decent life like Noahide children and you will be okay. He says, no, I want to live meaningful life. Right. This is what Judaism gives us.
Yes.
I in effect want to say that from 10 commandments, we are making mistake by saying that we have a first commandment. It's right. Not commandment.
Right.
It's
right.
Actually, I call this
postulation. Yes. All right, Zach, we have to.
Okay.
It's great.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. I'm happy this helped and thank you. Yes. Thank you for that insight. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Fantastic. Yes, Andrea, please.
Mine's not so esoteric, but I do have a question. Okay. It was really nice to hear about, you know, how you have to evaluate yourself. What is happening to you that those things are happening? You know, you have tzaras, but it's an interesting study in how you need to really, truly do it, a self-evaluation. But the question that I had is, okay, so you know that you have to separate yourself and you have to really reflect how do you know when it's okay to return to the community?
Well, in this case, you know, it's all governed by, in this case, it's all governed by the rules of Tarat. You know, after the nega is gone and after you finish a process of becoming pure again, you know, you're welcome back into the community, because as the Sefer HaChinuch said, that's a sign that you've done tshuva. Now, in our day and age, we don't have this type of hesker. We don't have this type of quarantine. So we are left to self-quarantine or self-reflect, I would say is better, self-reflect. And yeah, we have to, you know, we have to talk to people, spiritual advisors, people we trust, to get a sense of what we need to do to repent and what we need to do to fix the mistakes. There are specific rules of tshuva, of course. And I'm not recommending that people, you know, leave the community like this. But the underlying message for me is that community is a privilege, and we can blow it. And if we blow it, the stakes are really high.
Well, I could say, hypothetically, I hope, do something that would be terrible. And I say, oh, my gosh, what have I done? And self-quarantine, if you will, to separate myself so that I really have some time to look at what happened. But how will I know if I've had a reasonable amount of time that I can come back? Does the community also have to see me in a particular way to know that I've done certain things, or is that just for me?
Are you talking in what context? In the context of biblical tzaraat or in general?
General.
No. So I think when it comes to interpersonal sins, you have to seek out the forgiveness of the person that they wronged.
Okay. Yeah.
And go through the stages of repentance, and then hopefully that's it. But again, even before they do that, they're not outside of the community. There is no obligation to leave the community. It's more of a mental feeling. Like, I feel separate. I feel sick. I feel separated.
Okay. Well, yeah, I thought that might be the case. I feel separate, but then how will I know when I be accept? It would be acceptable for me to come back. That's, you know.
Right. Well, you have to go through the steps.
Yeah.
And then if you do, and by the way, I spoke about this on Shabbos, right? There's also a danger of being paralyzed by sin, which was, remember I said that was part of Aaron's problem when he couldn't do the avodah, he couldn't do the service in the Mishkan, and Moshe had to sort of admonish him and encourage him to do it. And the Ramban said because he couldn't get over the fact that he sinned with the golden calf and didn't feel he was worthy. And Moshe's like, no, it's time to move on. You've done your part. God has forgiven you. So there, that's why I said this is a beautiful idea, but also can be very dangerous, because we can get caught up and not forgive ourselves. And that's a problem. That's the problem inherent in any system that believes in sin. We have to be careful. That's why when, as much as we learn about sin, we also have to learn about repentance and forgiveness. Okay. I will tell you, by the way, that Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has a beautiful YouTube talk. It was one Erev Slichot. It was a Slichot night talk, where he talks about the fact that we live in a very unforgiving age, that someone makes one mistake, even if it was decades ago, and someone digs up a video or something or an article, that people, you know, they're not forgiven. And that's not Jewish, right? We believe in forgiveness. Now, of course, the person actually has to apologize and show that they've mended their ways and that they've changed. And they've corrected their behavior. But once someone has done that, we have an obligation to forgive. Now, I won't necessarily, I don't want to go too far in the details about what that means. And I have to be careful and take responsibility for my safety and things like that, my emotional safety as well. But, you know, sometimes things seem unforgiving. Okay, let's look at the Rambam and then we'll say Shalom. So the Rambam essentially... The Sefer HaChinuch stopped short a little bit with the Rambam. Remember, the Sefer HaChinuch said that there is an approach that everybody has specific hashgacha, animals and people, specific province. And then he said, what we believe in is that in general, generally speaking, animals have, God looks over the species. When it comes to people, God, divine providence exists. God directs each and everything we do. Now, it's true. The Sefer HaChinuch leaves us open for the possibility that he agrees with the Rambam, but he doesn't say it explicitly. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says this. Did I share the screen? Do you see this? No? Okay, let me share the screen. No. Sorry about that. I'm having trouble finding it. So let me try something else. Okay, this should do the trick. All right, you see it? So the Rambam says as follows. The relation of divine providence is therefore not the same to all men, to all people. The greater the human perfection a person has attained, the greater the benefit he derives from divine providence. This benefit is very great in the case of prophets and varies according to the degree of their prophetic faculty, as it varies in the case of pious and good men according to their piety and uprightness. For it is in the intensity of the divine intellectual influence that has inspired the prophets, guided the good in their actions, and perfected the wisdom of the pious. Says the Rambam, the amount of divine providence that we have depends on the intellectual excellence that we have achieved in terms of connecting to God through our intellect, thinking rationally, understanding the way that God runs the world. That is the highest level of perfection, according to the Rambam. And the higher, the closer you are to perfection, the more hashgacha pratit, the more divine providence one can benefit from. In the same proportion, as ignorant and disobedient persons are deficient in that divine influence, right, divine providence, their condition is inferior and their rank equal to that of irrational beings, and they are like unto the beasts. Harsh words by the Rambam. For this reason, it was not only considered a light thing to slay them, but it was even directly commanded for the benefit of humankind. I'm not going to get into that. This belief that God provides for every individual human being in accordance with his merits is one of the fundamental principles of the law. Now, interesting note here, the Rambam, when it comes to merits, doesn't mean mitzvot. He means intellectual merit. And then he goes on to say, I could prove it to you from the Avot, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and other prophets who became prophets not because of their mitzvot, but because of their intellectual achievements in understanding God and the world in the clearest fashion. So the Sefer HaChinuch says every person is subject to divine providence. I don't think the Rambam disagrees with that, but what the Rambam says explicitly is that it's not the same for everybody. Right? There are, you know, different levels of divine providence that one enjoys depending on their intellect, depending on how they have developed their understanding of God and their understanding of the world. So that's sidebar of the Sefer HaChinuch, his version of four different types of intellect. And again, the main points, let's just review the main points, that there is Hashgacha Pratit, and then with the Hashgacha Pratit comes the realization that means that God is watching us, and so therefore we shouldn't think that Tzarat is by chance, and therefore we should go to the Kohen, because the Kohen is in the business of forgiveness, and when we're with them, we'll be thinking about forgiveness, and that's what the quarantine is for, and the quarantine has an additional element, right? And that is the element of giving us time to think, separating us from the community, because we've become a menace to the community, and therefore we don't deserve the privilege of being with it. And when we get fixed, we fix ourselves, then we have the meaning. Community is not a right. Community is a privilege. And if we deserve it, we'll have it. And if not, we need a timeout to understand how to better operate and live with everyone else. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining. Always a pleasure to study with you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Shul, don't forget.